Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, 121. We're on Kuf Chaf on a bit base, and we are starting halfway down the Amud, Osin Mechitza, to which the Gemara is continuing from our Mishnah that we saw yesterday. We are talking about stopping the fire, preventing the fire from spreading. Now, we can't put out the fire. That's a Malach on Shabbos. So the Mishnah talked about the option of simply trying to stop the fire in its track. The Mishnah gave a number of examples of stopping the fire in the track. The first thing the Mishnah discusses is on the bottom of Kuf Chalfa Mad Aleph, is Rabbi Shimon Mananus is of the opinion that you could take a hide of a goat and put it over the chest. Apparently it's very moist, the hide. That's how Rashi describes it, and it will prevent the fire from entering into the chest. So that is one way of stopping the fire. And then the Mishnah talks about actually creating a wall on Shabbos so that now the fire will not spread. And furthermore, the Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that you can even create a wall using kalim, putting vessels in front of the march of the fire. And even if those kalim are filled with water, and even though the fire may in fact break the kalim, and out will come the water and douse out the fire, that's fine, that's all okay, according to the Tanakh of our Mishnah, and that's what's called Gram Kivui. Then the Mishnah brought in the position of Rav Yossi, and Rav Yossi says, no, you cannot do that. Rav Yossi writes in the Mishnah, I'm reading, Osa b'kli cheres chadash malei mayim lefi she'in yichol mekabla sa'or v'hein misbake'in u'mechabin esateleika. Rav Yossi says it does not permit it, because what's going to end up happening is that they're going to break, the water's going to come out, the water's going to douse the fire, and you can't do gram kivui. You cannot cause the extinguishing of the fire, even though you're not doing it b'yadayim, you're not actually extinguishing with their hands. It's a grama. You're causing it to happen. It's an indirect extinguishing, but Rav Yossi says you cannot do that. So in our Mishnah, what we had is a basic machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, whether you're allowed to do Guram Kivui. This is where we got up to in the Gemara yesterday, and we're continuing in the Gemara. Osin Mechitza Vechule. We're right in the halfway mark of the Amud at the two dots. Lim, Emer, the Rabbanon.
It says obsecration. It doesn't say it normally.
Huh? No, this is not a grammar issue.
Yeah, but it says klicheres because they break for sure.
Correct.
But if it's a metal thing,
okay,
then
good,
you
good.
Would say it's okay.
All right,
sure.
Good. We're going to see that inside. Lememer derabanan savri gram kivui motiv Rav Yossi savri gram kivui aser. So the Gemara sets us up. The Gemara just simply lines up the positions where, according to the Tanakhama, gram kivui is motiv. According to Rav Yossi, gram kivui is aser. Good. That's the simple reading of our Mishnah. That's the simple conclusion we would have arrived at. Problem is I have a braisa, and the braisa teaches us just the opposite. You are allowed to make a wall to impede the progress of the fire using kalim, which are empty, using kalim, which will not break. What kalim will not break in the course of a fire? Metal kalim. Rav Yossi, earthenware made up of a particular type of earth that is impervious to fire, that is fireproof, if you will. Whatever the case is, Rav Yossi is of the opinion you cannot use kalim that are going to break. So here's the problem. In this brisa, the brisa records that you the brisa records that you cannot use empty that you can only use empty kalim. But you cannot use kalim that are going to break. Now, v'chitema epoch masnisen. So perhaps what you'll say is that we'll flip the Mishnah, so that in our Mishnah, basically what we're going to do is we're going to do major surgery. In our Mishnah, Rav Yossi is of the opinion that Gram Kivu is Mutter. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that Gram Kivu is Aser. Rav Yossi, the Braisa, L'divrei Kamar. Now, if that's true, then what's Rav Yossi in this Braisa that we just quoted, who is giving other examples of pottery that will not break? He's not speaking for himself, he's speaking for the Chachamim. Meaning, look, I don't agree with you. But at least according to your position, who says that you can only use kalim that will not break, so here's a couple things I'm going to add to your list. But in other words, fundamentally I disagree, and I hold that gram kivu is mutter. So what the Gemara now is in the middle of suggesting is that what we should do in our Mishnah is flip the positions of Yosi and the Tanakama so that it would fit together with the Braisa, would conform with the Braisa. It's very strange because generally speaking, if I have a discrepancy between a Mishnah and a Braisa, I will flip the Braisa over the Mishnah rather than flip the Mishnah over the Braisa. But apparently if you reread the Braisa, it seems pretty clear from the Braisa, it's hard to really... I mean, both are hard. I guess it's harder to flip the Braisa. Either way. The Gemara says, don't flip anything. Meaning, do not change the Mishnah. We have a tradition in the name of Rav that Rav Yossi is of the position that Gram Kivu is Asar, that causing the extinguishing of fire is prohibited. So now, you cannot touch our Mishnah. So now, which if you can't touch our Mishnah, we have a problem with the Braisa. So when we originally read the Braisa, what it sounded like is that the Braisa had two positions, to Tanakama and Rav Yossi. Now what the Gemara is going to suggest is no. The Braisa is really, the entirety of the Braisa is Rav Yossi. We're going to just tweak the Braisa a little bit. You can only create a wall to impede the progress of the fire using kalim that will not break. And then the Braisa gives a list of examples of kalim that will not break, metal kalim, and various types of very strong earthenware kalim. Nami and Dakhli Shtaber, I'm sorry, Ukli Kfar Shechun, Ukli Kar Chananya, Nami and Dakhli Shtaber, She Rabbi Yossi Omer, that's the key tweaking of the Braisa. Because Rav Yossi says, meaning it's not Rav Yossi here, it's not a new position, Rav Yossi is just explaining what he's been saying from the beginning of the Braisa. She Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afkli Kfar Shechun, Ukli Kfar Chananya, Ain Dakhli Shtaber, period. Good. So now we've smoothed everything out. We're exactly where we started the morning. Meaning, the Tanakam of our Mishnah holds that Gram Kivu is mutter, so you're allowed to put kalim to impede the progress of the fire. Even though those kalim are filled with water, and even though those kalim are going to break, it does not matter. You're allowed to do it, because that's only Gram Kivu, Gram is mutter, whereas according to Rav Yossi, you cannot do that because Rav Yossi is of the opinion that Gram Kivui is aser. Good. Rami Durabanan Durabanan, Virami Durav Yossi Adrav Yossi. Now here comes the problem. We have the following Braisa, Ditanya. Haresha Shayashem Kasav Al Bisaro. You have the name of God written on your skin. And then we're not talking about a tattoo, we're talking about a simple ink. And the name of Hashem is written on your skin. Now, why would you write it? Inexplicable. there's no business why a person would be wanting to write that on his skin, and that is right now not the point. The point is it's there. Okay? It's written on his skin. And so there's a lot of considerations. Now that you have the name of Hashem written on your skin, because we know there's a prohibition in the Torah of Mechikas Hashem. You're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. Now, I know it shouldn't have been written there to begin with, but it's there now. So the Mishnah says, you can't take a bath. Well, you can, like, it's like wearing a cast. You know, you can bathe the rest of your body, but just not that area. But the other problem is, you can't do sicha. You can't rub oil, because rubbing the oil is going to start erasing that name. And lo yamo b'makom atinofas. And here's another problem. You can't hang out in the bathroom, because there's Shem Hashem right there. Nizdamna lo tvila shal mitzvah. There's a lot of basic questions you could be asking me right now. Hold on the questions. Nizdam lo tvila shal mitzvah. Now here's an issue. Let's say you have to tovel in the mikvah. And you have a mitzvah to do so. And that could be true for a man, it could be true for a woman. And there's a mitzvah not to tovel the mikvah. So what do? You have Shem Hashem written on your skin. Korech ala hagemi v'yorid v'tovel. So the Tanakam is of the opinion, what you'll do is you'll take some sort of bandage, you'll wrap it up, and then you'll tovel in the mikvah. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer la'olam yorid v'tovel kadarko. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, don't worry about it. You have to go to the mikvah? Go to the mikvah. Wrapping up the Shem Hashem? Just go to the mikvah, it's fine. And yes, it's true, the name is probably going to get erased while you go to the mikvah. Rav Yossi says, I'm fine with that. That's fine. Over vashalo yishav shef. What you can't do in the mikvah is you can't rub the Shem Hashem, because then you're actually erasing it. But to just simply go in the mikvah, that's fine. Now, here's the problem. Right? It's grama, meaning you're not erasing Shem Hashem. It's happening. Right? This is causation. But you're not actually doing it. So this is a category of grama. And so now essentially what we have is what seems to be a flipped position from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the Tanakhama holds a gram kivu is mutter, and Rav Yossi holds a gram kivu is aser. And now as we walk into this Braisa, now I know it's a different issue, but it's still grama. I'm erasing Hashem's name, but I'm not doing that. I'm not rubbing it. I'm just going in the mikvah. Rav Yossi says, not a problem. It's fine. Gram mechikas Hashem is mutter. And the Tanakhama is of the opinion that Gram Mechikas Hashem is Aser. Because the Tanakhama says that what you need to do is you need to wrap it up. So now what we have over here is this Braisa seems to be opposite of what we learned in our Mishnah in terms of the positions of Grama between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. Gemara's response, Shani Asim Damakravi, Yibadata Meshama Min HaMakamahu, Lo Sa'asun Kein La Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah, when recording the prohibition of Mechikas Hashem, Parshas Re'eh, it says that when you get to Eretz Yisrael and you see Avodah Zarah, and you see shame Avodah Zarah, you wipe it out, you erase it. But lo sasun kein la Hashem Elokecha, but do not do that to shame Hashem. Do not erase shame Hashem. This is the Mekor in the Torah for the Isser of Mechikas Hashem. Now, the key word over here is lo sasun. You cannot erase it. Actively erase it. Asiyahu da'asa grama shari, which means active erasing that's prohibited. But grama, if it's happening on its own, I don't have to stop it from happening. Grama's fine. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have the same concept regarding Shabbos. On Shabbos as well. Asiyas malacha is aser, grama is mutter. So, just like by Mechikas Hashem, there is no Isser of Grama, so too by Shabbos, the Torah says, Lo Sa'aseh, and Grama would be Mutter. So now, if all this is correct, what's the difference between the two cases? So the Gemara's answer is, Mitoch Shadam Balam Amano, Yishar Eslehu, Asilach Buye. So the Gemara says, look, here's Rav Yossi. We're going to right now just deal first with Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi will tell you, Let's start off with a fundamental principle. Grama's mutter. Grama's mutter regarding Mechikas Hashem. Grama's mutter regarding Hilchos Shabbos as well. Melechus Shabbos. Grama's mutter. So now that Grama's mutter, so now let's go over our two cases. The case of erasing. I'm not erasing. I'm not rubbing. I'm just going in the mikvah. Grama. It's mutter. Let's now go to the case of Shabbos. I'm not putting out the fire. I'm creating a wall. And the water is going to break as the fire is advancing, but I didn't put out the fire. That's grama. So what Rav Yossi should be saying is mutter. Grama's mutter. And to that, Rav Yossi's response is fundamentally, I agree, but if we start allowing you to create a wall to impede the progress of the fire, and that wall is created with water bottles, and the water bottles are going to break, and the water is going to put out the fire, Adam Bahul Al Mamono. People get crazy when it comes to their own money. And if I allow that, what the next step is that people can just simply put out the fire. So Rav Yossi says, it's a gzeira de rabbanan. The rabbis prohibited grama of kivui. So in other words, we have Rav Yossi ironed out very nicely. Grama according to Rav Yossi is fundamentally mutter, both by Mechikas Hashem and by kivui on Shabbos. However, by kivui on Shabbos, the rabbis made a gzeira. Done. Good. We ironed out Rav Yossi, and now Rav Yossi's position is very clear. But now let's go back to the Chachamim. So let's go over what the Chachamim's position is. When it comes to toveling in the mikvah, what do they say? Wrap it up. Shem Hashem cannot go into the mikvah. So wrap up Shem Hashem and then go into the mikvah. So in other words, grama, according to the Chachamim, is aser. But then you go back to Shabbos. Putting out the fire on Shabbos, what do the Chachamim say? That you can put the fire out in Bishabbos, b'derech grama, if you're doing it in an indirect manner. So we have now a very simple discrepancy between the position of the Chachamim. And furthermore, the Gemara even goes one step further, pointing out how difficult this is really it is to understand. If the rabbis are allowing Gram Kivoy, where there's money involved, and people get crazy over the money, and they're still being makel. So if they're being makel by Gram Kivoy, they're for sure going to be makel by Mechikas Hashem. There's no monetary issue over there. So Vitizbra Hainami Echidami. The Gemara says, okay, you're right, it's a problem. But let's think about it one step further. Because you're wrapping up the Shem Hashem using some sort of bandage. Gemara says, let's think about it. Did I tie up the bandage really tight? Because if I did, I'm not allowing the water to penetrate in any area around the bandage where the bandage is. So that's called a chatzitza. Meaning, aside from Mechikas Hashem, he didn't go to the mikvah. There was a chatzitza. And ilo mehadek, and if I didn't tie it tight, which is the other conclusion, ayla be'maya. So that means that water is going into that area, and water is there going to be rubbing out Shem Hashem. So the Gemara says, chatzitza tepekle mishum dio. So the Gemara says, hold on one second. You're introducing the idea of chatzitza. Chatzitza is really an issue. What about the ink? Isn't the ink a chatzitza? So the Gemara says, balacha. Well, the ink doesn't necessarily have to be a chatzitza. It could be that the ink is not dry, but the ink is in fact wet. And we know, detanya, hadam, hadyo, hadvash, hachalav, yuveshim, chotzim, lachim, ein chotzim. We have a brisa. We've gone over this brisa a number of times. That anything liquid is not a chatzitza. It's as if the liquid, so to say, penetrates the liquid. The water penetrates the liquid, and however you want to say it, liquid and on your body is not a chatzitza. It's only when it's hard, dry, and crusty, then and only then is it going to be a chatzitza. So as far as the ink itself being a chatzitza, not necessarily, the ink could be wet. And therefore the ink is not a chatzitza. But again, let's go back to the bandage. The bandage, if tied tightly, is a chatzitza. So the only The only conclusion is that you didn't tie tightly. Well, if you didn't tie tightly, so then that means the water is going underneath. And so therefore you're involved in Mechikas Hashem. Mikomakom Kashya. So Ella Amarav Barav Shila Hainu Tamay Darabanan Dikasavri Asar La'amod Bifnei Hashem Arum. So the Gemara's answer is like this. The bandage is tied loose. It's a loose fitting bandage. The water is going underneath. Mechikas Hashem, not an issue. It's Gurama. You're not rubbing out Shem Hashem. It's happening on its own. That's put under the category of Gurama. And just like the Chachamim Ramata Gram Kivui on Shabbos, this is also fine. So if it's fine, why am I bandaging it up? Because when I'm going to the mikvah, the person's going without clothing. And he's standing naked in front of Shem Hashem. So the only reason why we're wrapping it up is just simply so that you're not standing naked in front of Shem Hashem. So now that we have the Chachamim's position cleared up, so let's go back to Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi's comfortable? He's okay with you standing naked in front of Shem Hashem? So Rav Yossi says, here's what you're going to do. When you go to the mikvah and you have Shem Hashem written on your skin, you take your hand and you put it over Shem Hashem. So you cover it with your hand. So the Gemara says, well, if that works, so according to the Chachamim, can't you just put your hand on Shem Hashem? Zimin de Mishal v'shakolei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the problem is that you put your hand over Shem Hashem, and you walk into the mikvah, and one misstep in the mikvah, and all of a sudden you gotta get your balance, and you gotta take your hand off the Shem Hashem to get your balance. And so the Chachamim were worried that you will not keep your hand on the Shem Hashem. Just give me a moment. Let me just finish the thread, and then I'll take your question. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Yossi, so fine. So why isn't he worried about the same thing? I mean, so he's going to go to the mikveh. He's going to put his hand over Shem Hashem. So isn't he also worried that the hand's just going to come off? Ella idika gemi achanami. So the Gemara says you're right. Let's start off with the following assumption. If there's a bandage readily available, and you could wrap up Shem Hashem, not tightly because you don't want it to be a chatzitza, but if you're just going to put a loose wrapping bandage over the Shem Hashem so that you won't have to be naked in front of Shem Hashem, everyone's in agreement, the Tana Kama, Rav Yossi, we all agree that that's what you should do. Hacha b'maya skinan, what's our case over here? Lahadure Agemi. Do I have to go run after a gemi? Meaning right now it's not readily accessible. And I have got to go to the mikvah. And I have Shem Hashem written on my skin. So now, do I delay and postpone the going of the mikvah in order to try to find and retrieve a bandage to put over Shem Hashem? Or, don't waste the time right now, run to the mikvah. Rabbanan Savre Tvila Bezman Alav Mitzvah. The Chachamim are of the position that toveling at the right time is not a mitzvah. I will explain that better in just a moment. But in other words, right now, just understand, for the Chachamim, time is not an issue. There's no urgency to go to the mikvah. So you have Shem Hashem on your skin. Go find a bandage. It may delay, it may postpone your tefillah. That's fine. It's fine. It's important. It's important to have Shem Hashem covered up. Go find a bandage. La mitzvah umahadrinan. V'Rav Yossi savar, tefillah bizmana mitzvah. And Rav Yossi says, no, toveling at the right time is a mitzvah. There is an urgency to tovel right now. V'lo mahadrinan. And so therefore, don't run after a bandage if you don't have one accessible right now. If the mikvah doesn't have bandages like right there at the front entrance, and now you have to go and run after a bandage, don't run after a bandage. Tovel the mikvah right now. Tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah. And so consequently, you'll put your hand over the Shem Hashem, you'll tovel in the mikvah, and that'll be fine. It's not the best, but right now the urgency of the mikvah is calling. Okay. Right. It's not so much doche, meaning you're going to cover Shem Hashem. But in other words, Asi here is telling you that because there's an urgent mitzvah to do so right now, so therefore, don't wait. You'll cover Shem Hashem. Yes, it may be true that you'll end up uncovering it, but the urgency of going to the mikvah, erasing is not an issue at all. Meaning the Gemara's conclusion is that it's grama, meaning you're not actively erasing. It's just coming off on its own. So that's fine, according to everybody. According to the Tanakhama, according to Rav Yossi, it's fine. Okay, yes?
The fact that there's a mitzvah that was submerged, okay, I thought that would be enough of a covering in itself.
The Gemara assumes no. The Gemara assumes that when you go in the mikvah, especially if the mikvah is clear, I know that's miraculous, but if the mikvah is clear, then it's not being covered. It's exposed. We had a number of examples in brachos as well where clear liquid is not a covering. Okay, that is where we stand at right now. Now, first of all, this issue, which is a really huge issue, and perhaps Rebbe will be speaking about it this Shabbos, but tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah or is not a mitzvah? Meaning, for whatever reason, a person has to tovel in the mikvah. Right? Nowadays, we only think about a woman who's a nida, but that's just one example. If we lived in the world where Tumah Tahara were something that was a daily, our daily lives, so then there would be many opportunities for both men and women to go into the mikvah. Now, at the time when you need to go into the mikvah, so is there a mitzvah to do so in its proper time? This is a machlokis in the Gemara, as we see right now, meaning it's very clear from our Gemara that this is subject to a debate. The Gemara, in fact, is using this machlokis to explain whether or not I should hunt and search for a bandage to put over Shem Hashem. The Chachamim say yes, hunt and search, and postpone the tefillah because tefillah bezman is not a mitzvah. And Rav Yossi will say no, don't hunt and search. If you have a mitzvah to go to the mikvah right now, you must go right now. Rashi points out, you take a look at the top Rashi on the Talmud, so Rashi points out, this machlokus of whether tefillah bezman is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah is based on an understanding of a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, Parshas Kiseitzei, Vayalif Noseres Yerchatz Mamayim, the Zav, as it gets, as it, before evening, he has to tovel in the water. So in other words, the Torah is giving instruction that before evening, go. Meaning, go to the mikvah right away. So it sounds like from the pasuk that there's a mitzvah, not only to go to the mikvah, that we understand, but urgently. Meaning, your first opportunity that you can go to the mikvah, you must go right away. That's how Rashi understands the position of Rabbi Yossi. And what about the Chachamim? What are they going to do with that pasuk? Let's take a look at the next Rashi. The lav mitzvah, v'ilo mishkach gemi ha'idna lishtad lamachar. Ulaman dam lav mitzvah, kra itza tova kamash malan. The Chachamim's position, the tefillah bezmana is not a mitzvah, what the Torah here is doing is advising. Meaning the Torah is just simply giving you good advice. It's better to go to the mikvah now rather than wait till tonight. Why? Rashi goes on to explain. Because as we've discussed time and again, if a person's tummy and he wants to become tahor, it's a two-step process. Step number one, tov on the mikvah. Step number two, you need to wait till Harav Shemesh. The sun has to set upon you. Okay, you have to experience sunset. Now, if you're a Zav Gadola, and you tovo, let's say, in the afternoon, good. So you'll have Tevilah, and then you'll have Harav Shemesh. However, if you wait till nightfall, and you tovo on nightfall, now you have to wait till the next night in order to become Tahor. You will be a Tevul Yom until the next night. So the Torah is just telling you, as an Eitz Tova, I recommend that you tovel now and not wait till tonight. Because if you tovel now, you'll be tar tonight. If you wait till tonight, you'll be you won't be tar until tomorrow night. So it's Eitz Tova. Kamashmal, and the Torah is only giving you advice, good advice, but it's not necessarily a mitzvah. Don't put it under the category of mitzvah. Okay, good. Ad kan. So we have a machlokus between the Tanakama and the Chachamim, whether tefillah b'zman is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. It impacts our discussion of the person, the very strange case where the person has Shem Hashem written on his body, and should he now run and find a bandage to put over Shem Hashem? Not to tie tightly, because that would be a chatzitza, but to tie it loosely so that he is not standing naked in front of Shem Hashem. So should he postpone and delay his going to the mikvah to find a bandage? So that the Chachamim would say, yes, yeah, delay it. And Rav Yossi would say, no, don't delay it. You go to the mikvah right now. What about the fact that you have Shem Hashem? There's no problem of erasing. It's grama. There's no problem of chatzitza. It's wet. And as far as standing naked in front of Shem Hashem, you'll put your hand over it. Okay. Good. Now, so far so good. We only have five blessed lines between here and the Mishnah. Okay, and there are going to be five difficult lines of Gemara. So stay with me. We're going to get through it. The Hatanya. Sorry. The Savar Rav Yossi, Tefillah Bizman a Mitzvah. And is it true that Rav Yossi is of the opinion that Tefillah Bizman is a Mitzvah? The Hatanya. Now, the Gemara here is going to record a Braisa. Now, this is a very interesting Braisa. Rashi points out that this is a Tosefta in Yuma. And over here, the Braisa, this Tosefta, deals with the following issue. Let's say your time of Tefillah is coming up on Yom Kippur. In other words, you have a Tefillah opportunity on Yom Kippur itself. Now, again, we, in our day and age, all we think about when we think about tefillah is nida, and whether a woman is a nida can tovel the mikvah. So our minhag, accepted halacha, is that women don't tovel on Yom Kippur, even if their time comes up on Yom Kippur. Because our tefillah that we do is for heter lebein ish leishto, and there's no tashmish shamita on Yom Kippur. So we don't tovel on Yom Kippur. But in other words, but let's go back. Let's go back to a time where you tovel, not because just of nida, but you tovel because you're a zav, a zava, you're a lettuce, you're a mitzorah. There are a host of reasons why you can be toveling in the mikvah. And now your time for toveling is now coming up on Yom Kippur itself. So do you tovel on Yom Kippur? Now I know there's an issue on Yom Kippur. We all know that in Yom Kippur, there is a iser, one of the five inuyim is rechitza. You're not allowed to wash yourself on Yom Kippur. But that prohibition is only for rechisas rishus. That's only for voluntary washing. But for rechisas mitzvah, that's allowed. So here we go. Are you allowed to tovel on Yom Kippur itself? The Braisa discusses. The Hatanya. Hazava zava, hamitzorah hamitzoras, balal nida v'tamei meis, tvilasan bayom. They tovel during the day. And even if that day comes out to be on Yom Kippur, they tovel. This Braisa gives us so many different examples of somebody who's Tameh. Right? The Zava Zava. Let's go on. So, Tfilasam Ayom. Nida v'yoled is Tfilasam Balayla. Now, a Nida and a Yoled is when do they tovel? So, they tovel at night. And, and so therefore, if their Tfilah opportunity were to come up at night, they tovel at night. Not a problem. Now, Balkeri tova v'holech kol hayom kulo. Now, what about a Balkeri? Now, Balkeri is a man who had a seminal mission. Now, the Balkeri, just a little bit of background. I mean, it happens to be that we're learning brachos in the high school, so I'm right there. So, the Gemara in brachos, daf chaf aleph, daf chaf beis, discusses the issue of Takanas Ezra. Ezra made an institution that a man cannot neither learn Torah nor daven until he tovels in the mikveh from him being a balkari. Why did Ezra make such a takana? Another time we'll discuss it, but that's takanas Ezra. So when and the Gemara over there's conclusion is that nowadays we do not practice takanas Ezra on a balkari toveling in the mikveh. So it's not halach lamaisa nowadays. Fine. But at least Bizmana Mishnah, Bizmana Gemara, so there was Takanas Ezra, which means that if you're a Balkari, if a man's a Balkari, so he needs to tovel in the mikvah so that he can learn Torah and he can daven. So now a man's on Yom Kippur, there are five opportunities of davening, five davening opportunities. And so now the man is a Balkari for whatever reason. Now I know Tashma Shemitah is also on Yom Kippur. So maybe it happened before Yom Kippur, maybe it was on Yom Kippur B'Isser. Whatever the case is, he's a Balkari on Yom Kippurim. So what does he need to do? He needs to tovel on the mikvah. So just so they can daven, he needs to tovel on the mikvah. So the Braisa says, records the position of the Tanakhama, tova v'holech kol hayom kulo. That according to the Tanakhama, this Balkari Yom Kippur tovels anytime. Anytime on Yom Kippur. Meaning, on the eve of Yom Kippur, yes. On the morning of Yom Kippur, if he needs to, yes. In the afternoon, tovels on Yom Kippur. Rav Yossi Omer, mina mincha ulamala, eino tzarech litbol. Now Rav Yossi says, look, if let's say he's a Balkari and the Kree happened after mincha, so then he doesn't tovel in the mikvah. Because what is he going to tovel for? He'll wait until evening, and he'll tovel Motzei Yom Kippur, and then he'll daven Maariv. But in other words, because there's no reason that he should be toveling right now, so therefore postpone and delay the tefillah until the evening. Now, what about perfect, Danny? So, what about Ni'ilah? So Rashi points out that the position over here espoused by Rav Yossi is in accordance with the position of Rav, which is that Ni'ilah could be postponed until the evening as well. So now there's really no reason why he has to tovel in the mikvah. There's no davening left. He needs to daven on Yom Kippur itself. Ni'ilah and Maariv could be postponed until the evening, so therefore wait and delay. Good. That's the position of Rav Yossi. Obviously the Tana disagrees, and the Tana would say, no, if he has a tefillah opportunity, let him do so. Now what comes out over here, after you've put everything together, what comes out over here is that we have here a fundamental debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi about our Balkari on Yom HaKippurim, where the Tanakhama says you have a mitzvah opportunity to tovel the mikvah, you do so right away. And just as a interesting side note, what's the mitzvah over here? Takanas Ezra. Meaning it's not a... Right, it's a din derabbanan that is the tovel the mikvah. All right, but it's an interesting aside. I'm sure it would make for an excellent discussion in of itself. But in the meantime, however, according to the Tanakhama, you tovel right away. Even if there's no practical ramification of why I need to tovel right now, meaning I daven mincha already, and the Eli can wait until night, nevertheless, the Tanakhama says you tovel right away. And Rav Yossi says, here's the key line, and Rav Yossi says, no, push it off, wait. All right, you could do it tonight, wait till tonight. Postpone it till tonight. So you see that according to Rav Yossi, Tefillah Bizmana is not a mitzvah. So now we are at an impasse of the Gemara. Because the way we were setting up the machlokas previously, Rav Yossi was of the position that Tefillah Bizmana is a mitzvah. And this Braisa about the Balkari on Yom Kippurim is teaching us that according to Rav Yossi, Tefillah Bizmana is not a mitzvah. The Gemara gives a very simple answer. Hahi Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehudihi. Different Rav Yossi, meaning there's a Rav Yossi of the previous Braisa, that's Rav Yossi Stam, right? It's not a smooth answer. It's an answer. Rav Yossi Omer min amincha lamala. Rav Yossi Rav Yehudihi Damar Dai Tfila Bachrona. And the Gemara here takes us to the one of the hardest dafim of Nida, Daf Lamed. Okay, you remember that daf? What a daf! So it's not like I remember a lot of them, but that was a difficult daf. So, but anyway, but the punchline of the Gemara is that Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda says that this woman has to tovel for multiple reasons. She came back from a trip. She went, okay, not for now. Anyway, for multiple reasons, she has to tovel the mikvah. Wait, delay. Wait till the end. one tefillah, it'll cover all the reasons why she needs to tov on the mikvah. In the meantime, however, that's Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, who is not of the position. The tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah. So therefore, you could delay and postpone. This brisa, this tosefta on Yuma that we just quoted, that's not Rav Yosef, the stam Rav Yosef. That's Rav Yosef bar Yehuda, who holds that tefillah bezmana is not a mitzvah. Okay. Ad kan. Oh yeah, Gram Kivu. We go like the Tanakama. Gram Kivu is mutter. We do not go like Rav Yossi's position. Okay, Ad Kan. That takes us up to the Mishnah, and now we start the next Mishnah. Now, a number of you have asked me since the beginning of this discussion, how about call a non-Jew over, have him put out the fire? Meaning, I understand you can't put out the fire yourself. That is the malacha of Kivu. And saving out of the house, that's been this, most of this perek, right? Saving kisvei kodesh, saving food, saving your clothing. Out of the house, gram kivui, that's been our last discussion of the Gemara Daf Kufcha. How about not putting out the fire with your hands, but indirectly getting the fire to extinguish? Okay? Machlok is between the Tanakam and Rav Yosi. Now, how about not calling up. How about just telling a non-Jew, hey, my house is on fire. Okay? Can I do that? So this takes us to a very serious issue about Shabbos, and that is Amir Lakum. We know there's a prohibition that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you. Now, in of itself, this is what? What I'm describing there right now, Amir Lakum, that's an Isser. It's an Isser Daraisa, it's an Isser Darabanan. So the simple pshat would be, is that it's an Issa Darabanan. Meaning, now where do you find in the Torah that the Torah prohibits me asking a non-Jew to do malacha for me? So the way to say kipshuto is that it's a Issa Darabanan, not an Issa Daraisa. There's one shita I want to say, I'm going to say off the top of my head, the Bahag, or is it the Shiltos? Okay, that means I'm not properly prepared. There's one opinion that says that the Issa of Amir Lakum is an Issa Daraisa, but at face value, the simple pshat is that it's an Issa Darabanan. So in other words, and where do we know that from? This Mishnah, which we're about to learn. This Mishnah is one of the source Mishnahs that describe the Issa of Amira La'akam, that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you. Nachri Shebalach Abos. So here comes a non-Jew. He sees your house is on fire. So he good guy. He runs over and he says, let me put it out. So, So the Mishnah tells us, you give him no instruction. Meaning, don't tell him to put it out. That's Amir La'akum. But don't tell him not to put it out. You don't have to. Huh?
That's also
Amir. I'm not going to agree with you. Right. You don't have to prevent him from doing a malacha.
That's not a command.
No. In other words, you don't have to impede his progress. Okay. Because he's a non-Jew. He doesn't have to be a Shomer Shabbos. In fact, there's an issa for him to be a Shomer Shabbos, but that in of itself is his own discussion. But in other words, you don't have to stop him from doing a malacha. He's a non-Jew. He's not bound by Hilchos Shabbos. Good. Aval katan, but the Mishnah says, but let's say it's your son or your daughter. Now, if your son says, oh, Dad, let me put out the fire, so you say to him, no, don't put out the fire, because you're responsible for Ishmir Shabbos. So, in other words, the child, obviously, he's not a bar mitzvah, then we would have no discussion whatsoever. He's a child, before chinuch, after chinuch. Okay, that needs to be clarified, but I don't think we're going to do that this morning. But in other words, but he's your child, and the Torah says you got to make sure that every member of your family is Shomer Shabbos. We say it right before Kiddush. It's Pasuk and Chumash. Now this week's Parsha. So, and you're going to see it again in Parshas Kisisa. In other words, you have to make sure that every member of your family is a Shomer Shabbos. So you can't have your son or your daughter putting out the fire on Shabbos. And if they do so on their own, you got to stop them from doing so, says the Mishnah. Okay. So what do we learn in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah taught us that if a non-Jew sees that your house is on fire, and he runs over to put out the fire, So you take a totally passive position. You do not say, go ahead, put out the fire. That's instruction to the non-Jew to do a malacha for you. That's amir la'akum. At the same time, you don't have to prevent him from putting out the fire. He wants to put out the fire. You don't have to say, amal techbe. Now, amir rabbi ami. Now, what about some middle ground? Bidaleika hitiru lomer kol mechaba ina mafsin. So Rabbi Ami says as follows. You're allowed to be on Shabbos passive-aggressive. I know the rabbi recently spoke about being passive-aggressive. The rabbi was not in favor. But anyway, but you're allowed to be passive-aggressive. And you can say the following. You can, your house is on fire. You can go out into the street and make the following declaration. Anyone who puts out the fire in my house will not lose out. Okay? You're not asking anybody directly to put out the fire. So you did not violate the Isra of Amir La'akum. Now, obviously, your message, your suggestion over here is not to be taken by a Jew because a Jew is not allowed to put out the fire. Obviously, your message is directed towards a non-Jew. And if the non-Jew in the sound of your voice hears you, and he decides, hey, what an opportunity, I get to put out the fire, and I can invoice him after Shabbos. Wonderful. So the non-Jew will hear that, and Rabbi Ami says that's fine. So, okay, so in other words, this is where we get this whole business of hinting. Right?
Asking
I'm not right, huh?
Asking
right. I'm not telling him to do that. I'm only suggesting that he do that. Okay. Now what we'll learn later on is that there are two components to Amir La'akum. This is only our mission over here and our discussion, the Gemara over here is only half the story. The half the story is that you're not allowed to instruct a non-Jew to do malacha for you. But a hint or suggestion would be okay. At least that's what we're getting out of our Gemara. What we're going to see later on, when the Gemara discusses this part two, I forgot what daf it is, but it's coming up later on in the Masechta, is that when a non-Jew does malacha for you on Shabbos, you can't benefit from the malacha. Meaning if a non-Jew turns on the light, you can't sit in the room where the light was turned on. Because you're benefiting from the malacha that was done for you on Shabbos, and that you're not allowed to do. So that's a separate discussion. That's not the one we're having right now. Right now we're just focused on part one, which is Amir La'akum. So I'm not instructing him to do it. I'm simply suggesting that somebody can put out the fire in my house, and Eino Mafsid. So name him Mitzayele. Now, how does our Mishnah feel about this statement to Rabbi Ami? So the Gemara suggests, our Mishnah likes it. Because our Mishnah says, what does our Mishnah say that you cannot do? You cannot directly instruct. That's prohibited. But a passive, a suggestion of anyone who wants to put out the fire in my house, by all means, he has my permission. So it sounds like from our Mishnah, that would be okay. Kaveu delor min aleha kol mechabe eino mafsid. But kol mechabe, it would seem to be acceptable. Amin alei. Eima seifa. The Gemara says, yeah, but look at the Mishnah again. Al tichbe lo amin alei. Meaning, what can you not say to him? You cannot say al tichbe. Don't put it out. V'chol mechabe eino mafsid nami lo amin alei. Meaning from our Mishnah says that you cannot stop him from putting it out. But that's only if he figured it out on his own. But to make a suggestion that you can't do. Meaning it sounds like from the Mishnah that the only thing that's allowed on Shabbos is only when the non-Jew figured it out on his own. But for you to suggest and to hint and to make some sort of allusion that you cannot do. So in other words, a critical reading of the Mishnah will not bring us to a conclusion in terms of whether Rav Ami is right or not. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now, by the way, the Gemara does not tell us whether or not Rav Ami is accepted lehalacha. Hedy, I thought of you this morning. So Tosu says that that's the accepted halacha. That you are allowed to make a hint, a suggestion, an allusion to allow the non-Jew to put out your fire in your house. But I will caution you, however, that in terms of turning a light on or doing a positive benefit for you on Shabbos, even though you didn't ask him to do so, but he did it for you, that's going to be an issue. You cannot benefit from that. That will be a discussion that we'll have later on. Not today. Tana Rabbana Maisa V'Nafla Deleika B'Chatzir Yosef Ben Sima, the Gemara tells us a Tosefta. A fire broke out in the courtyard of Yosef Bar Simai. The king's accountant was living right nearby. King was non-Jew. The accountant was a non-Jew. And he was about to put out the fire. And this Tana of Yosef Ben Simai says, don't do it. Don't put out the fire. And he actually stops the non-Jew from putting out the fire. He didn't ask the non-Jew to put out the fire. He didn't even make a suggestion. All this was done by the non-Jew on his own. Now, obviously, that goes against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you don't have to stop him from putting out the fire. Venasalones, and this is interesting. So he stopped the non-Jew from putting out the fire, and a miracle then occurs. V'yarduk shamim v'kibu. And the fire, and I'm sorry, out comes the rain, and the rain comes and puts out the fire. Now, what a classy move. He then, after Shabbos, he pays all the non-Jews for their effort. Now, even though he stopped them from their progress, but still, in other words, they came, they were ready to put out the fire, he told them not to, so just for the consideration of them putting out the fire, so he paid them all. And for the king's accountant, the king's treasurer, gave him a little bonus. He's the man in charge. Okay. Now, when the Chachamim heard the story, the Chachamim said, the thought was a very nice thought, but that's not the halacha. Shaninu. Our Mishnah tells us point blank that if the non-Jew runs over to your house and he wants to put out the fire, you don't have to stop him from putting out the fire. You allow him to put out the fire. So, very nice story, very nice sentiment, but that's not the halacha. And it's interesting.
So,
Correct. In other words, yeah, the sentiment is very nice, but that's not the halacha. Okay, we continue. No. Well, it might be that he's a chassid shota. Maybe. A hot topic throughout Shas. I see a child, he's violating an Isser in the Torah. So do I have to go over and stop him from doing the Isser? So it's a big hot topic throughout Shas. It comes up, let's say your child, let's even say somebody else's child. Okay? And again, there's another issue, which is he a bar chinuch? Is he not of the age of chinuch? So let's say simply that he's not of the age of chinuch, because if he is of the age of chinuch, so then you have the mitzvah of chinuch. So do you have to stop him from doing an isser? So this is a really hot topic. Well, it's such a hot topic, but we have a Mishnah here in Shabbos on today's daf, which seems to point very clearly, you stop him from doing an isser. The Mishnah says that your child, and we're going to assume that it's really young, is about to put out the fire, and you stop him from doing the Isser. So on the topic, on the hot topic of Kat Nochel Neveles, based on Mitzvah Lav Lav Frisho, it sounds like from our Mishnah, yeah, you do stop him from doing so. No, meaning this is nothing, this is not a function of the child at all. This is just your responsibility to just not have a child eat Isser. So, So the Gemara says no. We're gonna leave this whole topic of Beis Mitzufin Lafrisho. Our Mishnah does not speak to that topic at all, because our Mishnah is talking about where the child is doing it for the father. So the Gemara says the Kavasin Gabi Nachri the Kavid Ladate the Yisrael. So the but if there are two cases in our Mishnah. The child putting out the fire for his father, and the non-Jew putting out the fire for the Jew. So the Gemara says, and if you're telling me that you got to stop the child because he's doing it for the father, so shouldn't you stop the non-Jew because he's doing it for the Jew? So the Gemara says, Adate di Yisrael Mishari, Nach Adate di Nafshe Aved. So the Gemara says, no. They're fundamentally different. Because when the non-Jew is putting out the fire, so he's doing it for you, but he's really doing it for himself. He knows he's getting paid after Shabbos. He knows that there's a personal consideration involved. And so therefore, yes, you're benefiting, But no, he's not doing it for you. He's really doing it for himself. So that's why, by the Nachri, it's fine. However, for the child knows, your child knows that this is killing you, that your house is on fire, and he's only putting out the fire for one reason only. He's doing it for you, so that's why you have to stop him from doing so. But on the topic of cutting ochel on the veils based on Mitzvah La'afri show, it does not involve itself with that topic at all. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. I want to just jump into the next topic. I know we're not going to get that far, but let's begin. You can take a bowl and put it over the fire on Shabbos so that the beams of your house do not catch fire, meaning you want to prevent a fire on Shabbos, you may do so. Now, I understand this is it's a difficult mission to understand. You take a bowl and you put it over the fire, you're extinguishing the fire, right? You are, maybe there are holes in the bowl. Okay, I'd like to say that, not because I know that's right, but in other words, otherwise, it's hard to understand. And if I have excrement in the house, you could take a bowl and you can put it over the excrement so nobody has to watch the excrement on Shabbos. And if there's a scorpion...
What's the
malachah
then?
We'll discuss that. And if there's a scorpion and you'd really prefer not to get bitten by the scorpion, you could take a bowl and put it over the scorpion. I'm Rav Yehuda Meister Bar Lefanai, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ba'arav, Va'amar Choshashan Lamechatas. So Rav Yehuda tells a story where somebody in the town of Arav, that's the name of a town, it's in Israel, it's right next to Tzipori. So he says, I know that a story happened over there, and I know that someone put a bowl over a scorpion, and Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's response is, you know, that may be a malacha de oraisa. I'm worried he has to bring a carbon chatas. Now, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, Rav Chanan bar Rabbi Eklo, Lebe Abin Demin Nishkaya. Three Amoraim go to the house of Rav Chanan bar Rav, to the house of Avin, of this place called Nishkaya. L'Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, Aisu Luhu Pir Yosa. Now, to two Amoraim, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiya, beds were given out, meaning here, have a seat. But L'Rav Chanan bar Rava, Lo Isolay. Now I know it's a terrible story. It's so embarrassing. Meaning to Rav Chanan bar Rava didn't give him a seat. Now I say this all the time. There's a story behind the story. Meaning there's a reason why this happened. We're not given much more information. In fact, we're given no more information. But obviously, can you imagine for a moment being Rav Chanan bar Rava? You're obviously feeling dismissed. So Allah I still Ashkachem Katan. Now Avin is teaching Torah to his children. And he's teaching to his son, you know, that you're allowed to take a bowl and put it over the excrement of a katna. Amrele Avin Shatya Masnin Shatusa Livne. Now Rav Chanan's response is, now you have to understand Rav Chanan right now is feeling pretty dismissed. So you can only imagine he's not happy with the Amid to begin with, and I'm sure that goes into this discussion. And he says, you know, a foolish man teaches foolish things to his son. Meaning the excrement of the child, it's not muksa. Meaning you could feed the excrement of your child to your dog. Now I know, I have the same reaction as well. What do you want to say? That it's moksa because of the issur of nolad? No, there's no nolad concern over here. We know that rivers, even though the water is running, and even though the water is running from outside of Tchum, nevertheless, you know that the water is running, that's natural. And therefore, the water that comes here on Shabbos is not an issue of Noelad. So too, when the child defecates and the excrement's not in the excrement in the house, that's not an issue of Noelad. So it's not muksa. And because I could take the excrement and feed it to the dogs, it's therefore not muksa. Why would I be turning a bowl over the excrement? Okay, fine. What should the Mishnah say? The excrement is excrement of chicken. It's chicken excrement. That's muksa. Nobody enjoys it. Nobody. Why don't we take it out of the house based on the heter of graf shel re'i? The rabbis allowed us to take excrement out of the house so that our house does not smell. The Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, maybe I could only take out graf shel re'i if it's on another kli. But I can't actually pick up the re'i itself and take it out itself. We have the case where the rat died amongst the spices of Ravashi, and the instruction was, it's a dead rat, pick it up by its tail and take it out. When you have something disgusting in your house, the rabbis allow you to remove it even by handling the object itself. So why are we turning a bowl over the excrement? Pick the excrement up and take it out. So the Gemara says, ba'ashpa. Well, it's already in the garbage. V'kad ma'ashpa ma'ba'ilei. The Gemara says, what's the child doing there? Bechatzer, the Gemara says, it's in the courtyard. Chatzer nami graf shel re'ihu. The Gemara says, okay, if it's in your courtyard, that's also unpleasant. You're allowed to remove excrement from your courtyard. Be'ashpasha bechatzer. It's in the garbage in your courtyard. So in other words, it's already disposed of. You no longer have a heter of graf shel re'i. And so that's why we're taking a bowl. We're putting a bowl over the excrement. Okay, I went all through all that very quickly. I understand. I'll explain a little bit better tomorrow. We'll go on and advance in the Gemara tomorrow as well. Okay, big topics today. Great, great topics today. Tefillah Bezmanas Mitzvah, Amir La'akum, part one, and putting a bowl over things that are either disgusting or dangerous. Okay, three really big topics for today. Rabbi Chanani Menachashim, Rabbi Zagash Baruch, 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 Rabbi